Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
This is the John Fugelsang Podcast.
This is Sirius XM Progress. I'm John Fugelsang. Welcome to it. Hope you're doing well. We're almost at Thursday. And you know what George Clinton says? It's always better by Thursday. And he's in P-Funk. He would know. Chris Houseltz, our executive producer. Thea Harper is our producer running this thing out of Brooklyn. I come to you from Los Angeles. Headlining Friday night at the Napa Valley Comedy Special, for God's sakes. And I hope you'll come on down. It's going to be really fun. I'm playing with the great Sean Lynch, a very funny guy. Tony Jackson's going to MC, and I'm doing a headlining set at the Napa Valley Performing Arts Center this Friday night. Show starts at 9 p.m. You may be wondering, oh, do I get to have Joe Sudbay or Nara Hawk or, you know, Max Burns or, you know, a smart person guest host the show? Maybe? No. Hate to tell you, you're still stuck with me. Due to the magic of time zone changes, I'm on the West Coast doing this show at what we call a civilized hour. So I will do this show on Friday night, and then I'll be heading on over to the Napa Valley Performing Arts Center. Go to www.performingartsnapavalley.org. That's on the Napa Vallejo Highway. Hope to see you on Friday night. I'm not too worried there'll be too many Maccas there. Anyway, we had a crazy day today. We have a lot to get to. I'm so glad you could be with us. We are celebrating the anniversary, the beautiful wedding anniversary of Eric Clapton to George Harrison's ex-wife, Patty Boyd Harrison Clapton. 45 years ago today, when George Harrison himself attended the wedding, stayed friends with Eric. In fact, George, Paul, and Ringo played together on a stage at that wedding. The only time the three of them ever played in public together after the breakup of a certain band. So congratulations. What could possibly go wrong? Tonight, throughout the show, I want to talk about all of the great songs that Patty Boyd inspired, because I've got like 11 great songs that she is the reason for. So we'll do some nonsense, but there's a lot of serious news. We have a lot to cover. I'm so glad you could be with us. A mere 24 hours after Judge Juan Merchan slapped Donald Trump with a partial gag order in his NYC hush money trial, Donald Trump did the smart thing that smart, innocent people do. He went on social media to talk shit about the judge and the judge's daughter. You know, I'm starting to think, like, maybe there's something inside him that just wants to be around men in prison. You know, some guys just have needs. It really seems like he's doing all he can. New Hampshire Democrat Ann Kuster announced she's not going to seek re-election in 2024, which surprises many people who think New Hampshire is kind of a key congressional battleground state. Also, the overnight collapse of Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge is tragic. We have a lot to cover on it, but it drove a surge in online conspiracy theories. And, well, let's just say racist lies. DEI is the new N-word, and there were thousands of them promoted by blue checkmark verified accounts on Elon Musk's Twitter. Because, of course, Russian authorities have received over 100 missing persons reports related to the Crocus City Music Hall terror attack. The death toll has now climbed to 140, and Vladimir Putin is still trying to find a way to convince the people of the world to blame this on Ukraine, and not the guys who did it. A new study from the UN says that humans wasted over 1 billion meals per day in 2022. That number means that 19% of the planet's food got thrown into a landfill, while 783 million people worldwide faced chronic hunger and starvation. Also, aid groups in Haiti are urging U.S. officials to try to prevent illegal weapons shipments to the collapsing island nation, because almost all the weapons now in use by gangs to control Haiti come from Texas, Florida, and Georgia. Just like nearly all the weapons used by gangs and assorted criminals to terrify the East Coast of the United States come from Texas, Florida, and Georgia. And Virginia. Let's not leave them out. And a new study in Nature Review finds 70% of current regions known for wine will be no more by the year 2050, because their soil is thought to be rendered unsuitable by then for grapes, thanks to climate change. Tonight on the show, we're going to be talking with the super brilliant Bob Seska. The God Squad is here in hour number two. And yes, Donald Trump selling Bibles during Holy Week might come up. Let's do a show. I'm so glad you're with us. I want to begin tonight talking about the long and intertwining paths of Joe Lieberman and Broke Loser Man. You know, I remember watching C-SPAN in 1999 because, yeah, I was this boring back then. And it was the one time in C-SPAN's history I can remember they showed stand-up comedy. It was at a comedy club in Washington, D.C. It was they used to have this annual Funniest Celebrity in Washington contest. And I remember watching it because she was Kellyanne Fitzpatrick back then. She was singing a song parody, and then Billy Bush, way before You Know What, got on stage and was telling Trump jokes. He did. Billy Bush said that if Trump became president, because in 1999 they were all joking about Trump because Trump was saying he was going to run for president with a reform party. Remember that? Don't forget, long before he lost the popular vote in 2016, he lost in 2000. So he never actually ran, but he did. He had a campaign. They dropped out. Billy Bush said Trump, as president, would clean up the federal budget since he's already managed to cover 90% of his head with only 3% of his hair. Not a bad joke, Bill. All right, I'll give you that one. Not the worst I've heard. Not at all. 17 years before Trump became president. And then a senator took the stage in this comedy club on C-SPAN, a Democratic senator, Joe Lieberman, a year before he became Al Gore's running mate. And he told Trump jokes. He told jokes about Trump as president. He said that Donald is quite a ladies' man. He's going to have, if elected, an all-female cabinet. Secretary of Energy, Carmen Electra. Secretary of Defense, Xena the Warrior Princess. I remember watching this and thinking, But then he had a good line. He said Trump will probably turn the White House into luxury high-rise co-ops, but it would be very hard for any Jews to get in. It was hilarious, and it was brilliant. Wound up being a bit tragic, too. Joe Lieberman has died, the man who was Al Gore's running mate in 2000. He left us in New York City. He was 82 years old. He was the first Jewish candidate on a major party presidential ticket. He ran his own bid for president in 2004. He dropped out well before John Kerry won. And he was defeated in the primary for his Senate seat in 2006. That was an amazing story. He made an incredible comeback by winning the general election as an independent. I mean, his career was always marked by what they like to call an independent streak. I'll be polite and go along with that. But in 2006, after he entered the Connecticut Senate primary race as a Democrat and lost, he did something you see in movies but rarely in real politics. He switched his affiliation to independent so he could run in the general election. And you know what? He won. He beat the Democrat and the Republican because of Republican voters who didn't like their own candidate and thought Al Gore's running mate, 6 years later, spoke to them more. 8 years after he was the Democratic nominee, he endorsed John McCain in the presidential election over Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. McCain even considered choosing him as a running mate. And at the convention, Lieberman went on stage publicly and criticized Obama. This is 2 years after he left the party and was an independent. And, he could have just gone on stage and said, John McCain's been my friend for decades and he's a good man. But no, he went out of his way to attack Barack Obama, the Democratic nominee for president in 2008. And as the years went by, he became kind of a Trump supporter. Most Democrats and liberals had given up on him. But, I mean, he began defending Trump before Lindsey Graham did. I mean, in March of 2017, 2 months into this ordeal, 2 months in, he said that when it came to Iran, the country he always wanted to bomb and was very willing to send your kids to fight and die in. You know, Barack Obama had gotten this multi-nation peace deal going, and our military was saying every month that Iran was complying with the deal. But Donald Trump tore it up, showed the rest of the world treaties with the United States mean nothing. And he said the transition from Obama to Trump is an enormously significant and hopeful change. He praised Donald Trump's cabinet. He praised Michael Flynn, fired by two presidents. He also introduced Betsy DeVos at her Senate confirmation hearing to be education secretary. Remember that? Early in the January 2017, he said, "I know that some people are questioning her qualifications to be secretary of education, and too many of those questions seem to me to be based on the fact that she doesn't come from within the education establishment. But honestly, I believe that today, that's one of the most important qualifications you could have for this job." He's involved with the American Federation for Children, which is an organization Betsy DeVos chaired. And that was him cheering on putting a homeschooler who hates public schools in charge of our schools. So, you know, he couldn't condemn the Democrats enough. I mean, when he went after Democrats for being too hard on Trump, he said, "I hope Democrats will get over that soon. It takes two to tango." More recently, he was famous for sharing No Labels as they kept on trying to find a candidate to challenge Joe Biden and Donald Trump on a third party ticket. He did try for Nikki Haley, which I kind of would have approved in. Four terms in the Senate from 1989 to 2013. Yeah, he was probably the biggest supporter in the Democratic Party of the Iraq War. A huge supporter of the Iraq War. Defended it for years after. I mean, 20 years later, check out his interview with Mehdi Hasan, where he kept saying it was just great. Just great. That, yeah, 5,000 Americans died. And between 500,000 and 1 million Iraqis died. But really great. At the same time, Joe Lieberman was as strong a supporter of abortion rights as he was of the Iraq War. And it's one of those examples where you couldn't pin the guy down. Every time I'd be disgusted and dismayed, he would do something that impressed me in some way. When Al Gore tapped him as a running mate, they won the popular vote, but they lost the election to the guy who got fewer votes. Jared Moskowitz said, "Lieberman endorsed me when I was 25 years old, running for local office over 18 years ago. I will remember our many conversations." Norm Ornstein said, "I disagreed sharply with his post-Senate No Labels involvement, but I deeply respected his faith and decency. So sad for his loss." Barack Obama praised him, even though he told people not to vote for Obama. And we'll probably be talking a bit about, oh man, if Gore had picked somebody else, would he have beaten Bush? I know he did beat Bush, but if we were a democracy, if Gore had picked someone else, someone who wasn't beating up Bill Clinton all the time. Joe Lieberman voted against confirming Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court. And more recently, though, he got a bad rap for the No Labels business. And everyone thought, oh, he's trying to get Trump elected. Trying to. So, you know, it's awkward because it's one of those obituaries where you have to remember everything. I want to praise him and I will praise him. And I want to say congratulations, Senator, on making it to your 80s with government-financed health care that you worked so hard to deny to the rest of us. Because Joe Lieberman's the guy who killed the public option under Barack Obama. He is. He's the one. He's the number one reason. He was owned by Aetna. Owned by the insurance companies. And he was the single vote that kept the ACA from having a public option, which would have reshaped health care in the world. It would have reshaped pricing, at least in our country. I mean, he made insurance companies very happy. He made himself very wealthy through his healthcare lobbyist wife. And he kept millions of Americans from having the same kind of coverage he thought he deserved. He pushed the lie about WMDs, squandering all those lives and billions of dollars. Recently, he said the squad is exercising their influence beyond their numbers, criticizing four women of color in the Democratic House. I don't understand it. This is a guy who got billions of tax dollars so his state could build nuclear submarines to fight Al-Qaeda. He used the war on terror to get funding for nuclear submarines built in his state for the war on terror. For guys in caves. In the desert, we need nuclear submarines. He killed the public option to keep Americans uninsured. And he thought four brown women elected to Congress had too much influence? So I'll end on a positive note, because they asked me to be nice. I don't think he was an evil man. He was not a sinister right-winger. He was the other thing, the nice, wrong conservative. On some things, again, he did plenty of good. But I'll give him credit for this. While working for No Labels, they said, aren't you just trying to get Trump elected? And I want to close on this, because Joe Lieberman deserves it. He said, if we don't run a unity ticket, and it's Trump versus Biden, the choice for me is an easy one. I will support Biden, even though I think the Democrats would be better off with a different candidate for president. If it comes down to Trump versus Biden, I think for the good of the country, I will vote for Biden and do so with general confidence that I'm doing the right thing. Thank you for that, Joe Lieberman. Let's talk for a minute about Broke Loser Man, because we learned today in the New York Times that Donald Trump has spent more than $100 million on lawyers alone and the legal costs with the lawsuits and criminal charges against him. The New York Times found, you ready for this? That he has spent more than $90,000 a day, an average, on legal costs for the last 3 years. $90,000 a day, and none of it was paid for with his own money. It came all from donations as he tried to push the Stop the Steal lie. All these years when he's been fighting, saying, I lost, Stop the Steal 2020, it was all to raise money to pay lawyers. $90,000 a day for the last 3 years, and those accounts are almost empty. So Donald's either going to have to pay his own legal fees or find a new way to grift. In case you're wondering why you saw him selling softcore gay porn NFT trading cards 2 weeks ago, hideous gold sneakers last week, and freaking blaspheming Bibles this week, Trump raised $254 million online between the day after his election, November 4th, 2020, and the inauguration day on January 20th. Between the day after the election and Biden's inauguration, he raised $250 million. He started the Election Defense Fund, and then he has the Save America PAC. He began that in November of 2020. And the Times found only a fraction of that money went towards the recounts and the election challenges. A lot of it went to his second impeachment lawyers, and Trump took most of the rest. So then he renamed it MAGA PAC, used that money to pay for his political operation and his legal teams. And Save America PAC held $105 million at the end of 2021. Now here's the deal. He spent about $27 million in legal fees, all rolled through Save America and MAGA PAC in 2022 when the FBI searched his house and found that he had stolen classified documents. But Save America couldn't spend directly on his political campaign after he announced his candidacy. So they transferred $60 million to another Trump super PAC called MAGA Inc. He has been moving money around for 3 years, and now it's running out. Save America started last year with $18.3 million on hand. Trump's legal expenses went crazy last year, in case you didn't notice. He was indicted in March, and then the three other times. He spent almost $60 million on legal and associated costs. Again, none of this from his own bank account. All from the MAGA stooges, who thought they were spending money to get Donald Trump rightly named president. 1 cent from every dollar he raised online went to the PAC, and then the rest went to his campaign. But this year he upped it to 10%. A dime of every dollar you donate to Trump goes to his legal fees. So Save America's cash was down to like less than $4 billion by last summer. So Trump asked MAGA Inc. for a refund of $60 million. He gave $42 million of that money to Save America by the end of last year. Then his legal costs kept going up. He spent about $10 million the first 2 months of this year. So his super PAC refunded another $10 million in January and February, and there's currently only about $7 to $8 million left to return. And Save America's down to less than $4 million. And that's why they've taken over the Republican National Committee. You want to know why there's all the drama with Ronna McDaniel? You want to know why all this mishigas about NBC and MSNBC with Ronna McDaniel? Because Donald Trump squeezed her out of the RNC. And he did it because that's going to be his new lifeline. The RNC is now going to be his legal piggy bank, and no doubt it'll be some kind of haven for money laundering. Merrick Garland, you might not have a job in January of next year, so please, sir, please, I know you're tired, please start scrutinizing this right now. His family has taken over the RNC, and we'll talk about that with Bob Seska, because they're now screening people applying for jobs over who they think really won the election. He's turning it into a cult, and he's going to starve the entire Republican Party. No one running for national office as a Republican is going to be able to get any money out of the RNC. Not enough to win. The entire party is being sucked dry by Trump and his tick-like family of parasites. And it's kind of beautiful. The Times found that Save America is likely going to be completely out of money by summer at the current spending rates. So Trump's going to need to get a lot more of your donations to the former Republican Party to pay for his crimes and his rapes and his frauds and his thefts. And we found out today that Truth Social, it started trading yesterday. So Donald Trump's getting $3 billion, we heard, on paper. Except it has far fewer users and less income than any social media network that's ever gone public. So the app does sell some ads, but it doesn't make any money. Truth Social earned about $3.5 million in revenue for the first 9 months of 2023. You know how much they lost while they were making $3.4 million? They lost $49 million. It has fewer users and less money than any social network that's ever gone public. When Facebook went public, they earned in revenue $3.71 billion the year before they went public. It was profitable. Truth Social, $49 million, folks. It's all a grift, and shuffling the money around is all he can do. I said it before, and I'll say it again. Doesn't mean Joe Biden's going to win, but folks, stop and smell the train wreck. We want to know what you guys think. We're at 866-997-4748. We'll be right back with the great Bob Seska. This is Progress After Dark.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, once again, the New York Times analysis says Donald Trump has spent more than $100 million on lawyers and other legal costs in the last 3 years. He has spent, on average, on lawyers alone, $90,000 a day for the last 3 years. None of it with his own money. Mouth-breathing rubes drooling on the clicker. Please send your billionaire another check. He's fighting so hard for you. E. Jean Carroll needs to go shopping. Send your billionaire a donation. It'll really own the libs. We hate when you do that. We're at 866-997-4748. It's my great pleasure to welcome Bob Seska, host of one of the finest political and music podcasts you can get, The Bob Seska Show, as well as Trek Politics. We're blessed to have him here every week. Maybe you know him classing up the Stephanie Miller Show as well. Bob drops weekly columns and bonus material at his Patreon and new merch too, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Mr. Seska, welcome back.
Thanks so much, John. Yeah, I've been thinking about Donald Trump's money. I shouldn't be spending so much time thinking about Donald Trump's money, but I do. And I wonder how much he's got left, because I saw after Truth Central, is that what he calls it? Truth Central? That's his filth website.
I call it Filth Social. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, once that went public, they were saying that he's now worth, what is it, $3 to $6 billion, something like that. But there was no extra tacked on for whatever he was worth before Truth Central went public. So I wonder,
But also, I saw Our liberal friends were tearing their hair out and rending their garments over this terrible news. How can Trump get bailed out? What kind of luck does this man have walking between the raindrops? I'm like, that's no luck. The system is designed for wealthy, white, millionaire at birth males. However, Bob, you know, this Truth Social thing, the $3 billion, that's just on paper. He'll have it someday, but he has no immediate access to it. And it was just reported today, I was saying before the break, that Truth Social lost $49 million last year and only made $3.5 million. And when Facebook went public, the year before they went public, they earned $3.71 billion. Truth Social lost $49 million last year. This is another moment of desperation by Donald Trump. Yeah.
And right now, the only value in that stock is based on the fact that there's significant word of mouth about the fact, well, it's Donald Trump and it's Truth Central and it's kind of a meme stock, they call it. It's not really based on any sort of internal numbers, any sort of actual future for this business. And, you know, it's the same old shit that we've been reading about for so many years, John. It's just moving a lot of paper around. It's just a bunch of bullshit. It's a casino is what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm fully expecting Donald Trump to bankrupt this particular casino before too long. It's only a matter of time before that
his
stock
daddy's not around to send a guy in with a suitcase full of $5 million. I mean, that's that? His dad sent a guy in to buy $5 million worth of chips in the Atlantic City Casino, and the guy bought the chips and walked out of the building. Like,
incredible.
That's how they bail each other out.
When the website was first announced and its partnership with DWAC, which is this SPAC corporation, the stock price jumped through the roof and then immediately collapsed soon after. So I'm expecting the same thing to happen now that Truth Central is now listed itself under... it's listed under DJT. That's the abbreviation.
Oh, I know. Let it rise and fall with those exact initials.
Let it
become worthless. Let it become penny stocks.
It absolutely will be that. It'll be that before too long. You can
Leo DiCaprio is going to be selling this in the first scene of Wolf of Wall Street, this stock, and within a year, believe me.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, he kind of scammed the New York Court of Appeals the other day because he went in there claiming poverty, right? He said, I can only pay $100 million. That's all I can do. And of course he's significantly lowballing it as sort of his bullshit negotiation tactic, right? So he knows it's going to be a little bit more than $100 million, but it's still within the range of what he ostensibly, I guess, could figure out how to pay. And then they gave him another 10 days, but he was in there crying poverty. And then the very same day, Truth Central announces that it's gone public and he's suddenly worth $3 to whatever $5 billion on paper. And so they fell into the same trap as so many subcontractors and vendors who have worked for Donald Trump. And he goes in and offers pennies on the dollar and they accept it like suckers because they're not going to get anything else. So this is the way Donald Trump has operated for 40 years. And for some reason, there are a bunch of deluded motherfuckers out there who want to make this guy the steward of our economy, this colossal train wreck of a business person, this guy who can't even organize his own finances, who had to be on an allowance because he bankrupted casinos. I mean, who bankrupts casinos? And people still are like, yes, maybe he should control the economy. That'd be a great idea. The guy who admires kleptocrat Vladimir Putin, who is actively right now, along with a bunch of oligarchs, stealing money from the Russian people left and right, enriching themselves like the bandits they are. And Donald Trump wants to do the exact same thing.
Yeah, I've sort of come to view any news about Donald Trump in general, Bob, as being this sort of bloated crypto-fascist yin-yang symbol. Because anytime you see something that gets the liberals all upset and anguish and angry and there's no justice in the world, hold your breath and within 5 minutes, you'll see something to make the libs happy all over again. Case in point. You know, we're really good at tearing our garments in grief. But I mean, we saw last week Trump's reduced bond from $454 million down to $125. It's amazing seeing who defends this, you know, I mean, these people who would never lie to the IRS, would never lie on insurance forms, would never lie to a bank when taking a loan. But you're being really unfair to Mr. Trump. They always find the penalties way too harsh. They were talking about, the Eighth Amendment, it's cruel and unusual punishment. Fucking Trump ran promising to bring torture back. And now they care about cruel and unusual punishment? These humps. Yeah. But every time, then wait a minute, and something positive happens. We see the reduced bond, and later that same day, the judge sets the trial for the Alvin Bragg Stormy Daniels case. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a bigger story. The first, it's official.
It is.
A former president is definitely going on trial. I find these things are all coming in twos more and more, mm-hmm. Mr. Seska.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it's even more than twos. I think there's maybe one good thing for Donald Trump, and then there's maybe six things that are bad for Donald Trump and good for us, good for the country, good for democracy.
Good,
and so I think that's a pretty good ratio. But it's still, it is, and I just want to go back to the New York Court of Appeals for just one last second, John.
Please.
And that is, it did illustrate the two-tiered system of justice in this country. How so many of us, normals, regular people, who don't have Donald Trump's status, wealth, and privilege, end up, for example, locked away in prison for a year or more because they can't make bail.
Yeah.
No one gets the kind of latitude and leeway that Donald Trump gets. You know, they like to go around the red hats, the MAGA movement. They all like to scream about how, well, if they can do this to Trump, they can do this to you. Well, they're doing it to us, but they're doing it a lot worse. I mean, the things that happen to regular people don't happen to Donald Trump. The things that happen to regular people are far, far worse. Donald Trump has got so much wiggle room in all of these cases. Even the very fact that it took a while for the Department of Justice to start investigating him for January 6th. Had I been in charge of the Department of Justice on January 21st, I would have arrested him immediately January 6th for inciting that insurrection.
Exactly.
But this is the kind of leeway this guy gets for some reason, and I'll never understand it because all he does is ever abuse it. But that being said, the same day we got this trial date for the election interference case, the hush money case. And so that's all good news. Plus, we had a good electoral outcome in that special election in Alabama.
Can I ask you about that, Bob? Because this was a real unexpected surprise. This was Democrat Marilyn Lanz. And I mean, this was a 17-point swing. And this wasn't from one of the gerrymandered districts either. This was the old fashioned. There was a corrupt Republican who had to resign. And God bless people of Alabama in these special elections. They sent Doug Jones to the Senate. And now Marilyn Lanz. What can you tell us about this?
Well, the guy who you were saying was thrown out of office for corruption, David Cole, the reason he was thrown out of office was for voter fraud.
That's
a Republican committed voter fraud. Shocking. I know every time there's a new voter fraud investigation, it's always a Trump supporter. It's always a Republican. You cannot find me a single case where there was some sort of intentional voter fraud that was perpetrated by a bunch of Democrats trying to elect Joe Biden or whatever the excuse may be. So that's why this special election happened in the first place, because the Republican got caught committing voter fraud.
That's right. Thank you. You're right.
Right.
And to point out that Donald Trump won this district in northern Alabama in 2020.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And in 2022, the Republican won that. David Cole, who was, again, kicked out of office because of voter fraud, he won that district. I think it was 52-45. And then Marilyn Lanz, the Democrat, comes in this special election yesterday and wins 62-37. That is if I can do the math in my head real quick, that is a 17-point shift Democrat in Alabama, for God's sake.
Incredible. Incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, and she ran on protecting IVF and abortion access, which
shows,
as Dr. Rachel Bitticoffer has been saying on my show, the number one issue of this election continues to be Dobbs, Dobbs, Dobbs. And that's going to drive, I think, a lot of Republicans out of office. And if there is a teeny tiny silver lining in that horrendous Supreme Court decision, it's the fact that the Republicans finally caught the car. They finally grappled their jaws onto the bumper, the rear bumper of the car.
It.
Now they're just being dragged along by it.
But they know it, Bob. I mean, look at Alabama. Yeah. Look at the IVF Supreme Court case. And boy, did the GOP show up and try to damage control that, from the governor to Mike Johnson. Then look at the Supreme Court this very week deciding, you know what? We're probably not going to fuck with Mifepristone before the 2024 election. I mean, you can see these people backing off from their lifelong goals because they read the tea leaves. They know that they're not going to win in democracy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's ironic the position they're now taking on an IVF, because now the Republicans seem to be OK with destroying fetuses, destroying embryos. That's OK.
Sure.
If it's for IVF, it's OK if you abort a bunch of embryos. Those kind of babies it's fine to kill those babies.
Yeah. Now it's
because
okay.
we've got an election to win. You know, everything is about now with the Republican
it's
Party.
All power.
Values
all power.
Don't matter. Yeah, no, it's all about acquiring power, winning.
Whatever path. I mean, who is the brave Republican? There's a few who'll stand up against Trump, yes. But otherwise, it's ideologically, it's whatever path gets us power is what we believe consistently. Mm-hmm,
that's right.
And there's no ideology. They will flip-flop. I mean, this is the party of family values, who's now the party of grabbing by the pussy. It didn't take long. They'll flip for anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's happening with IVF and, God, all those embryos, all those babies. And it also happened with immigration, where they just sold out their entire, whatever was remaining of their platform and their values. It was like, fuck it. We need the issue, or we don't need the issue, as the case may be, because we have to win in November. Yeah. So that's all that matters. Elevating Donald Trump. Donald Trump, the man who is actively busting out the Republican Party like a mob boss, like Henry Hill and his cohorts in Goodfellas, taking over that nightclub and then horking all the money, buying all everything on credit, moving it out the back door, and then lighting a match. That's what Donald Trump's
whole
doing
party
to Republicans.
It's like a mob restaurant being burned down for the insurance money, at least for Trump.
Exactly,
that's it. I completely agree with you. But, you know, we talk a lot, Mr. Seska, about how these things are all interconnected. And in the midst of all this fury over Ronna Romney McDaniel at NBC, I think it's all connected to Trump's money woes. I mean, the very court cases that MSNBC covers all day are the reason MSNBC took a break from that to talk about how they don't want to work with Ronna, because the RNC's broke. It's not her fault. They're broke. Yeah. Donald Trump has been systematically draining the coffers, and now they forced her out so he can move his no-talent daughter-in-law in to run the RNC, make it a full-time host for ticks to suck on, all to get money for Trump's legal fees, maybe some light money laundering as well. The very reason Ronna McDaniel is looking for a job is because Donald Trump forced her out of the RNC to further his own legal fees. I mean, that's it. Right. They're totally connected.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And the astonishing thing, John, is Ronna McDaniel was hired by NBC, and now she's no longer with NBC. But when she was hired by NBC, the fact of the matter is she was terrible at her job. It's not just the insurrection. It's not just the electors scam that she was involved in. It's not just her associations with Donald Trump and all the horrendousness, all the anti-democracy nonsense that the Republicans have been up to. It's just the very fact that she's terrible at her job. I mean, she's bankrupted the RNC. I mean, obviously, Donald Trump gets a lot of credit for that, too.
I mean, she facilitated Trump bankrupt. Yeah, she never stood up to him. She groveled before him. She was as obedient as she could be, and he stabbed her in the back, because that's what happens with Donald Trump. But you're right.
Yeah, yeah. And so on top of that, lost a bunch of elections in a row. I mean, she wasn't in charge of the RNC when Donald Trump first won. I think that was Reince Priebus. I think he was the chairman of the RNC at that time.
You are correct.
And then, and then once Ronna took over, it was a whole string of losses. And so because she she bent over backwards to make sure Donald Trump got what he wanted, and everything that, you know, Donald Trump makes things worse for Donald Trump. So every decision he makes is going to be bad news for the Republican Party. It's going to be bad news for Donald Trump. And hence you get a series of losses like this phenomenal switch in Alabama and so many other special elections. That's on Ronna McDaniel. And suddenly NBC goes, well, that's the expert we want. Oh, are you serious? Really? And then the other thing, John, that occurs to me is...
Do you think that's why? Do you think that do you really think NBC wanted her because she's an expert of any kind? I mean, it was about access, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is about access. I think a lot of it has to do with just rank cynicism. I think they figured, okay, Ronna McDaniel is the equivalent of the liberal contributors that we have. Like, she's got the same level of ideology as... Andrew Weissman or Neil Katyal or Elie Mystal.
Look at the conservatives on that channel.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Scarborough, George Will, Nicole Wallace, Michael Steele. Yeah. How much time you got? The guy, Charlie Sykes. I mean, Tim Miller. There's so many conservatives on that channel. There's more real conservatives on MSNBC than there are at Fox. I mean, it's not because she's great on camera. It's got to just be either they're doing what CNN does and always chasing the Trump demographic, or this was deliberately done to try to have an in to a second Trump White House.
That's right. And there is no equivalence between the people they have on the air right now as political analysts, as paid people come in and talk with the hosts about these things. There is no equivalence between them and Ronna McDaniel, given the fact that Ronna McDaniel was involved, as we said, with the fake elector scheme and elevating this anti-democracy movement and the MAGA movement with Donald Trump and enabling that whole thing. That is unforgivable. I can listen to a Republican talking on MSNBC, and you and I and everyone else listening has already, and we've seen lots, as you were listing, all the Republicans who are on MSNBC. And one of the reasons that's okay is because they've all repented. They've all been contrite about their former associations with the Republican Party, and that, I think, makes a difference. And yeah. I hope it's sincere. But I don't think any of them have been involved in the level of criminality that Ronna McDaniel has.
She's on tape with the Michigan Attorney General committing fraud.
That's right.
It's just incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I was reading something. Getting indicted, not literally indicted, but she was, you know, the rap sheet was developing inside, I think, the Cheesebro investigation or the Cheesebro documentation. Yeah, there was, so she's got her face into all of these things because she was at the top of the ladder. And this is why what I fear for John is the fact that there is this kind of seed of cynicism inside the executive offices at places like NBC News, where they are making decisions like this. Well, like, what's wrong with this? I mean, it's going to be the same as, you know, having Andrew Weissman on, and, you know, he's the liberal version of Ron. No, none of this is the same. It just drives me bananas.
Part of me wants to believe, Bob. Yeah. A part of me really wants to be not cynical and believe that the reason Cesar Conde or whoever at MS wanted her on camera was because they realized that this woman would be the worst possible spokesperson for Donald Trump 2024. I mean, someone who is so unappealing, so dishonest, so poor in her on-camera skills, someone who lied for this man, who literally denied her heritage and family name for this man, and he still stabbed her in the back. A part of me thinks someone probably thought they were going to help get Biden reelected by hiring this wretched soul to be Donald Trump's face on their channel.
Yeah, that never.
How charitable is that? How kind? I'm fucking Gandhi at this point.
Yeah, not too bad. Okay, maybe she was hired to sabotage Donald Trump. I don't know.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. That's the most charitable thing I can think of, sir.
Yeah, that's very, very generous of you. But, you know, I think with Ronna McDaniel, this is one of those things where, you know, maybe they certainly had the wrong idea in terms of how this would be received. I don't think they anticipated the enormity of the backlash, not just from the public at large, but from their own talent. And for Chuck Todd to take the position that he took on Meet the Press, I thought was very brave. I thought that was a bold move because, you know, I mean, they could have been uncharitable to Chuck Todd as a result of that. And right now he could be doing the both sides thing on Substack instead of on NBC News. So I think in that regard, he did stick his neck out.
Well, and he's a boss. He's I mean, one of the senior executives at NBC News. Like, he's one of the bosses there. So, I mean, it was a strong editorial decision on his part. And I think his brave words, and I give him credit for it, it gave the rest of their on-cameras permission to just not hold back.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is that I think NBC News has a weird history of hiring people and then immediately letting them go and ending up eating a bunch of money as a result of it. Like Megyn Kelly was hired and then they had to get rid of Megyn Kelly. But in order get rid of Megyn Kelly, I think they had to pay her $5 million or something
they
like
did.
That.
Which, all they got to do, I'm sure, their lawyers are all over this, but I'm sure all they got to do is find one lie Ronna told on camera on Meet the Press on Sunday morning. It won't take long, and then they can nullify some of the deal. Bob, we've only got a minute left, but I'd be most remiss if I didn't ask you about Trump's possible violation of gag order. I think he doesn't understand what that means, because when Trump hears gag order, he thinks that's when you pay the escort to make things a little rough. What is actually going on here, Bob, in our final minute?
By the way, I recommend the Stormy Daniels documentary on Peacock. But
okay, great.
Yeah, as far as Judge Mershon goes, Donald Trump threatened Judge Mershon's daughter on Truth Central today. This is the business that he's taken public. He's done this. And it wasn't in violation of the gag order, though I do suspect that Judge Mershon will be issuing a gag order covering not only himself, but at the very least his family, Alvin Bragg's family. because they're excluded from the current gag order. There's nothing that says anything about the judge or anything about Alvin Bragg himself. Everything has to do with the court staff and the DA staff and the jurors, of course, but no one else. So I imagine that gag order is going to be rapidly expanded because this is a criminal case. This is not, he's not going to get the leeway that he got on the civil cases. This is going to be a different atmosphere for him, and I'm so ready for it.
Amen. Bob, what's the best way for our listeners to follow you and your work?
You can find my podcast at bobseskashow.com. That's the Patreon page and also everywhere you get your podcasts.
Thank you so much, sir. It's a pleasure to have you. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment with your calls at 866-997-4748. This is Progress After Dark.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I'm John Fugelsang. This is SiriusXM Progress. Every Wednesday, we are lucky to bring you proof that God loves us and wants us to laugh. The God Squad. Keith Giles is a former pastor who left the pulpit to follow Jesus. He scares the crap out of these crypto-fascist motherfuckers. He's the author of the best-selling Jesus Un book series for people who are deconstructing their faith. He's a regular contributor to Patheos Progressive Christian blog platform and the co-owner of Choir Publishing. Keith, we're still trying to get the bio perfect. Welcome back. I'm so glad to see you.
Oh, we're going to dial it in. It's going to be great. It's so good to be here, John. Thank you so much.
It's good to have you. I have some Bibles signed by Lee Greenwood I want to sell you before we're done.
Oh, yeah.
Pastor December Rose is the former pastor of the Restoration Center in Greenville, South Carolina, and the Rock Worship Center in West Union, South Carolina. She is the author of The Church Can Go to Hell, a jaw-dropping memoir and theological dive into the toxic reality of church culture. She's also a dynamite spoken word artist who spreads the gospel through love, truth, and radical hospitality. Pastor Rose, good to see you. Welcome.
What's up, pimpin'? Good to see y'all tonight.
My life is like the 6 days waiting for this and then this. So that's I divide my life into two categories, the hour I spend with you and the rest of the miserable time, if you need to know. Finally, Dylan Cruz is a writer, a theologian, and a permaculture enthusiast from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. His book is Theological Musings, Volume 1. It's a terrific collection of essays that cover everything, political, social, and environmental concerns. Dylan, it is great to have you back. Welcome.
Always good to be here, John.
Dylan, I want to start with you because I want to talk about Project 2025. I want to talk about that every day. But what is going on in your town? I heard from you vaguely that, you know, there's some kind of problems going on where you live with a drag queen story hour at a local library.
Well, yeah, like many communities around the country, we've had some issues with bigots who are complaining about libraries exercising their First Amendment right and being coerced.
They don't like books
democracy.
As well, Dylan. You know, books piss them off, make them angry. There's books with no pictures, but go on, please.
Right. So this past Saturday in our beautiful new downtown library here in Lancaster was going to be Drag Queen Story Hour with a local, pretty well-known drag performer named Miss Amy. And before they were doing it, our local Christo-fascist county commissioner and resident pipsqueak, Josh Parsons, was complaining on the news saying that this was obviously adult themes, obviously an adult performer, and obviously not appropriate for children. Well, I got news for Josh. Lewis Black does some pretty cool stand-up, but it's not for kids. But he was also in the movie Inside Out, and he played Anger. Fantastic movie. Very poignant for kids.
Yes.
Nothing like his stand-up. Completely appropriate for kids, just like a drag queen story hour.
Nice distinction.
So,
yes. Although this, you should see Lewis's set for kids. It's filthy, and they love it. I mean, he does. It's filthy.
I'm sure it is. So the dogs went through on a security sweep, and they pinged on something, you know, the way sniffer dogs do. It turned out to be fairly benign. But then after that happened, an email was received in which whoever sent this doxed several people and then wrote this. At exactly 1:30 p.m., the bombs will detonate. Bring the fire department. We place pipe bombs as well as fuel bombs, which will likely cause a fire spreading to other buildings. Evacuate so no innocents die. You are fucking degenerates, pedophiles, child abusers, or chicken shit cowards who rather let our children get preyed upon than be called a bigot. Fuck you.
The anonymous guy trying to kill people is calling you coward. I like this. Go on, please.
Oh, yeah. Fuck you, degenerates. We will kill you all and purify our land. Now, I guarantee you that crazy motherfucker's got a German flag in his garage.
I was going to say, I mean, let me ask the entire group. Would you bet, how much money would you bet that this person deeply considers themselves to be a Christian and they did all this for Jesus? The vulgarity, the threats of violence, the intolerance. It's because they're a fundamentalist and they think that they're fighting Satan for God. They're sincere. Would you agree?
It's definitely giving Christian nationalist vibes, especially that purify our land part.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big red flag right there. Yeah, that's
the
problem.
I agree.
Dylan, I'm so sorry this happened. It's bizarre to me because I come from Manhattan where we have tons of drag queens, but very few children. So this dynamic never happens where I live. But how has this played out in your community?
Well, they had to cancel the performance, obviously, and there were bomb squads, and they had to evacuate several blocks downtown. And there was there's a Lancaster County Convention Center downtown, and there was some kind of ZikaCon, or I don't know what it was called, but some kind of, you know, nerd convention, which I would normally be at, but going on downtown. So there was a lot of business and traffic that was disrupted. And this clown, whoever sent this very dangerous person who I hope gets caught very quickly and has his fucking FAFO moment, doxed the executive director of the library, the local president of Pride, and somebody else, and said that they had put multiple bombs all around the block. So people couldn't go home and they were evacuated. This is Amish country, man.
This is an Amish country. This is happening, right?
Exactly. For those who don't know, Lancaster County is home of huge Anabaptist communities, and they are traditionally what we call the peace church.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get involved with this kind of thing as a general rule, and they also do not try to force their beliefs on other people. The Amish have this whole thing called Rumspringa, where the kids go out and go absolutely hog wild for a while when they're about 16 years old, and then can later choose to join the church. But these Christo-fascist fuckwits want to make everybody else toe their party line.
But my whole thing is, how much money do you think this fake Christian douchebag cost the local taxpayers? Think about it.
Had to be a lot. Because of the bomb squad and all the different cops that they had to bring in, and the fire department and the traffic control and everything else. And when the commissioner started complaining on local TV, guess what happened? Lots of really cool people signed up to go to this event because they know it's okay. Playing dress up is something that kids do all the fucking time.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. You're so right, guy. I mean, this brings me back to Westboro Baptist Church, guys, because, you know, I got picketed by them a few years back for a show I was doing with Margaret Cho. And I thought it was the greatest honor because I kind of feel like
congratulations.
I was right. It's like that's better than a daytime Emmy. I mean, we're playing Kansas City again on my tour this year, and I'm going to beg these fuckers to come picket us. But these bigots that are so hateful in the name of this misguided, perverse, polluted religion, they tend to help the other side. I mean, there's so many conservative brothers and sisters in this country who didn't feel comfortable with gay marriage. But they saw Westboro Baptist Church and they're like, I don't want to be on the same side as those assholes. I think to your excellent point, Dylan, good will come from this, right?
I certainly hope so. One of the local branches of the library in the county, at the township meeting, they were like, we're going to cut the funding because you've got books about gayness in there. So Johnny Weir, the former Olympic figure skater who's from the area, just said, all right. And we wrote a big ass check for that library.
Mm-hmm. So, wow. That's
how do you like me now?
There you go.
So, go ahead.
December.
Can I chime in right here with the, I want to give a balanced perspective. I know we got all kind of folks listening, and I want to give a very honest perspective about this drag library reading time thing. Okay. I don't know when it started. I don't have a problem with it, but let me be completely honest. Please. As a mother, a godmother with lots of children around me, as a former pastor, I would find this very uncomfortable. I want to be completely honest. As liberal as I am and as open-minded as I am, I would not take my children to a drag read.
But you wouldn't try to shut it down.
Yeah. I would not try to shut it down. I would not speak negatively against it. I would not do
anything. I think you're the majority. I think you're actually the majority.
I wouldn't not take my kids because I think it's sinful or because I think it's wicked or because any of that. I wouldn't take them because I'm personally uncomfortable.
Right, I understand.
But here's the thing. Here's a problem that I don't, I don't feel like answering the questions that my kids might ask afterwards. You know, I'm just being completely honest.
I get it. This is the problem.
Like,
yeah.
This is the problem. It's a right to be uncomfortable with the thing without demonizing it. And I think why can't you just be uncomfortable and not participate? Why does it have to be a demonic thing?
My liberal chromosome wants me to call you a right-wing hater.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm like, would I go see a drag show? Yes, 1,000%. I think it's very entertaining. It's entertaining. The people are beautiful and gorgeous and sweet. And I love everything about that. But would I take my kids to a reading hour at the library? No, I would not. Yeah. But that's just me. Why isn't it okay to be uncomfortable and not participate without demonizing something? That is okay. If you don't want your children to go to a reading with a drag queen, don't take them to drag queen reading time. If you don't want an abortion, don't get an abortion. If you don't like the idea of gay marriage, hey, don't get gay married, homie. You ain't got to do it. You ain't got to do it. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know why you can't just be uncomfortable and let it be. Mm-hmm. Mind your damn, you know what? This was something I said. Love God, love people, and mind your motherfucking business. Why is that so complicated?
I'm doing the wave here. I'm doing the wave. Keith, I know you want to jump in on this. No, you're exactly right.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's interesting. And what December's pointing out is like, there are, you know, we have these Christian nationalists, we have these MAGA Christians especially, who have this idea, like they don't understand how faith is supposed to work, right? To them, they say, instead of saying, hey, my faith says I can't do this, or I believe my faith teaches X, Y, or Z, so I won't do this, or I won't do that, or participate in something. They say, my faith says this is bad, so you can't do it, right?
That's right.
And that's one of my big red flags about this whole, like, make America fill in the blank anything. Because again, Jesus never talked about making people do anything. You're not supposed to make people do whatever, right? It's not about forcing people. It's not imposing your ideas. It's not like having this power over people. What Jesus had was sort of what's called power under, right? He served people. He met people.
Oh,
he cared
good.
For people.
Yes.
And he had an influence on them, right? And so it wasn't, but people had freedom. This is the thing. They still had freedom to say, hey, that was really nice. Appreciate that. But, you know, that's not for me. And they could move on. So, you know, I think this idea of sort of legislating your beliefs on everybody else or imposing them, like this wacko on the phone who feels like, well, I disagree with this. So I got to make sure no one else can do this. That's really a huge, huge problem right now. Christianity in America has become very, very militant and very invasive in people's lives.
Yeah. Chris, by the way, leans in to say the Drag Story Hour are children's events first started in 2015 by author and activist Michelle T. in San Francisco. The first one was held at the Eureka Valley Harvey Milk Memorial Branch Library in the Castro neighborhood of San Fran and featured drag queens and was obviously well received. I got to say, for me, it's weird because my kid probably knows more gay men than he knows fundamentalist Christians, raising him in the wretched hive of scum and villainy like New York, like I am. So it would never occur to me to take him to a drag queen story hour, but I would take him to the Halloween parade or the LGBT pride. I've taken him to like five pride parades already. He's gotten his drag queen diet. I know.
Yeah. And statistically, he's safer at something like that than he would be in an evangelical Christian church because of like all the, all the sexual assaults and predators that have been exposed over the last several years.
It's
that's a point that I made in the first sentence of the op-ed that I wrote for the Lancaster newspaper today.
Good.
That they are far safer there, and it's not close. And one of the things that I want to point out is this is a First Amendment right. The right to freedom of expression is a First Amendment thing. And if our county commissioner isn't all aboard about democracy and the First Amendment, then perhaps he should resign and find a new career. Because he's trying to circumvent the First Amendment by cutting funding for things that he doesn't like because of his faith. That is
not how
government
is supposed
to work.
It's about the children. They're always going to hide their hang-ups by saying, this is for children. I'm just caring about the children. We had a certain famous TB doctor on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he's all upset about the border because they're trafficking children, and he's all upset about trans care because they're mutilating children, and everything the certain famous TB doctor is against. It's all about the children. They're going, it's hurting the children. These COVID requirements hurt the children. And I'm like, you know, the number one killer of children are guns.
Yes.
How much time have you spent talking about that, drag queen haters? Mm-hmm. How much time, you little trans haters? How much time you, oh, the masks were worse for kids than COVID? How many times have you lifted a finger to object to the fact that more children are killed by guns now than by car crashes or disease?
Mm-hmm. And that particular TV doctor's got a wall full of guns, if I remember correctly.
Oh, indeed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that answers the question. You know, before we hit the break, Keith, I do want to go to you because you have actually some very good news pertaining to former human Ron DeSantis, who is now a desiccated husk living out his days in the Sunshine State. There is some actually pretty good news this week if you think of the Stop Woke Act as the White Fragility Act, as I like to call it.
Right. Yeah, this is happening in phases, but it seems like the writing on the wall is that this anti-woke act is going to get completely shut down. We did have a federal appeals court blocked this whole idea of this sort of anti-woke act, Stop Woke Act, saying that it exceeded the bounds of the First Amendment, again, free speech and all that kind of thing.
What a shock.
And so that's good. But sadly, though, well, I shouldn't say sadly, because it seems like the writing on the wall is that the rest of this is all going to get eventually shut down. But there is still another phase of this Stop Woke Act that's still being debated on right now concerning higher education. This recent ruling was about businesses and what they could say as far as like, things they couldn't say about white people or black people or
this
sort of like critical race theory nonsense.
Well, don't tell any truths that might make the child or grandchild of a racist uncomfortable is essentially what the entire law was about.
Yeah, exactly. So that's some good news. But I would say, we know that DeSantis and other anti-woke conservatives out there aren't going to stop at something like this. There are still dozens of other bills and measures out there in lots of other states across the nation that are still attempting to criminalize inclusion, take away gay and trans rights, force women to carry their rapist babies, anti-immigrant.
All those good Christians.
Good Christian people, supposedly. And again, as I said, that's one of the things that really bothers me. It's like Christians who want to sort of force and impose their beliefs on other people. Legislating the gospel isn't the gospel. Jesus never called any of his followers into politics. He didn't ask his followers to pass legislation. He didn't even care about putting the Ten Commandments in the courthouse. But what he did command.
Well, he reduced the Ten Commandments to two.
two would have been really simple.
Our right-wing friends don't even know that.
That's right. Yeah, they don't believe that. But what he did tell them to do was something kind of simple. He told them to love people. To love people, to love everyone, everywhere, not to judge them, not to condemn them, not to count their sins against them, not to call them unholy or unclean, because they don't talk or walk or believe the way you do. And forgive me, I'm a former pastor. I'm going to quote some scripture here. One of my favorite verses that never gets talked about, certainly on, and I never heard this preached growing up in school, in church, but it's 2 Corinthians 5:19, or as Trump likes to say, 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians.
and it says this, "For God was in Christ, not counting our sins against us, but reconciling the world to himself." So here's the good news. According to this, God is not counting your sins against you. God has reconciled the world to himself. That's everyone to himself. And so anyone who tries to use fear or shame or guilt to get you to jump through hoops to receive God's love or mercy or grace is selling something. Don't buy it.
Don't buy it.
Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him.
Yeah, exactly.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right on.
And then I'll just say one more. 1 John 4:16. Yeah. They love quoting John 3:16, but 1 John 4:16 is, "God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them."
Yeah, right, that's a good one. Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones.
Well, and what's their favorite to quote? "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son." Yeah. The world.
That's
not
everybody.
Your piece of it, not your island, not your color, not your club. The world.
That's right.
You xenophobic little bitches. All right, we got to take a break, or I'm going to go to. I might mistranslate
something.
You're
feisty tonight. You're feisty tonight, John.
I wait all week for this. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about how great it is to celebrate Holy Week by spending $60 for a Bible covered in feces. And also, let's talk a little bit, if we have time, about how church is getting less popular in certain parts of the country. We'll be right back. This is Progress. Welcome back. This is SiriusXM Progress. I'm John Fugelsang. We are blessed every Wednesday to be joined by the unholy riot that is the God Squad. Pastor December Rose, Keith Giles, Dylan Cruz, and your calls at 866-997-4748. And now the moment you've all been waiting for. Donald Trump is promoting a Bible that's $59.99 plus shipping and tax. "We must make America pray again," he said in his Truth Social account, before he wished everybody Happy Holy Week during the most solemn week of the liturgical year. Again, a week ago, he was selling $400 high top sneakers. 2 weeks ago, he was selling softcore gay porn NFT cards of himself. He also released this week, just so you know, a 99 bottle of Victory 47 cologne. So it's all a grift, and I've been waiting all week to talk to you guys about the Donald Trump Bible. Finally, a Bible that will burst into flame if you bring it into a church. Pastor Rose, I imagine you have thoughts.
These motherfuckers. I mean, that's the thought that I have initially. But one thing that I wasn't aware of, so he's put out this Bible, version of the Bible, with Lee Greenwood.
Yes. another giant of spirituality, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. What I did not know, okay, is that he has put this Bible out before and called it the Ultimate American Bible. I didn't know that this, you know, he's put this Bible out before. He done re-upped it, and it had a lot of backlash before a lot of big-name Christian authors put a letter out blasting it as dangerous and signed petitions and everything saying that this was a Christian nationalist thing that he had done. So he's done this before, but I guess he has found it an opportune time, being that we are inundated with Christian nationalists, and now that Christian nationalism is okay in the public again to be, you know, be a bigot out loud again. Now that we're trying to make bigots great again, and all that, that now he has found that this is an opportune time to rebrand and put this Bible out again.
Wait a second. Are you saying that Lee Greenwood, the one-hit wonder behind God Bless the USA, is recycling his old material over and over again? Is that what you're trying to say, that he has nothing new?
I think that's what I'm saying. He has a new clown for the circus, but the circus is the same, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
yes.
I think it's perfect for MAGA because, you know, like Lee Greenwood and the Bible, MAGA only knows the greatest hits of both. So I kind of feel like it's sort of a good match. Keith, I've been wondering all week what your take on this is.
Oh, well, I got to say, watching this video of Trump holding up a book he's never read, a book mm-hmm. that pretty much condemns everything he stands for, greed, adultery, slander, injustice, exploitation of immigrants, all this, it's surreal. It's insanity. It's watching Trump sell Bibles is like Gandhi selling machine guns. it doesn't make any sense. And in the ad, he also talks about how we need to bring back religion to America. And I'm like, really? Dude, like more than 80% of Americans are identify as Christians. There's a church on every street corner, right? Like, what do you mean the Christian and religion are under attack? So, you know, but you need to sell that idea, convince this MAGA crowd that they're under attack so that he can be their savior, as if buying this Bible is going to do anything. I couldn't help but also be thinking, because it's called the God Bless the USA Bible.
Yes.
And I just immediately flashed back to the great prophet Chris Rock, who once said, God bless America. America is the richest, most powerful nation on earth. How about God bless Haiti? How about God bless Africa? How about God bless Jamaica or Honduras or Guatemala? And again, like you said earlier, John, it says God, it's John 3:16, for God so loved the world, not just God so loved America. Jesus wasn't a nationalist. His earliest followers for the first 400 years went to their deaths proclaiming that Jesus was king and not Caesar. They didn't pledge allegiance to Rome or any other nation. And so, everything is wrong about this idea of American Christians who can't imagine their faith without an American flag on top.
That's it, man. That's it. Dylan, I assume you have a thought or two.
Oh, I got thoughts. I went to the website today because I just had to see it, right? And when I was in boot camp back in 1990 at Marine Corps Recruit Depot, San Diego, Lee Greenwood and Marie Osmond came and did a concert.
How dare you? Oh,
and
well, I gotta ask. I'm sorry. I gotta stop you. Did they have a band or were they singing to tape? I just gotta know.
No, they had bands. They had bands.
Okay.
Really?
That, thank you. Go on. Yeah. Please go on.
Wow.
Okay.
So the Navy guys came from their training center across the city, and they were sitting across the parade deck. And Lee Greenwood, whose only contributions to American life are a cheesy patriotic song and a jingle for McDonald's, said, this is the song that I'm probably most famous for. And all of a sudden, the Navy guys started to sway back and forth in unison. And then
They got gay for Greenwood. Yep.
Oh, yeah. So he broke into the McDonald's jingle, right?
Oh, okay. That's fine.
So I go to the website today and down on the bottom of the page, it's like, is this Bible endorsed by Donald Trump? And it says, yes, this Bible's the only Bible endorsed by Donald Trump. Is it endorsed by Lee Greenwood? It's the only Bible endorsed by Lee Greenwood. And I'm just thinking, God and Jesus are up there in heaven and going, finally,
endorsement.
Greenwood finally endorsed a Bible.
Wow. I mean, King James was nice, but this is the one that matters.
Yes.
Well, and that's just it. It's the King James Version, which they called easy to read. And I'm sorry, what? But as a religious scholar, I need to point out that the King James Version is highly problematic.
Oh, because, thank you. Yes.
Because it relied on manuscripts that were not reliable. Mm-hmm. They did not use the oldest manuscripts available. And then scholars found older copies of these texts, which are closer to the truth than the one the King James Version is.
Oh, that's right.
They probably pandered to the KJV-only people who are often pretty conservative. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's just laughable because everything about it is idolatrous. They're making America an idol. They're making Trump an idol. They're inexplicably making Lee Greenwood an idol.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. And then they're making the Bible itself an idol because it's got the Constitution and the Pledge of Allegiance and the Declaration of Independence and a flag.
Oh my God, it's blasphemy. Mm-hmm. It's not even the good kind.
Absolutely blasphemous.
Yeah.
Now, if any other country did that, they would probably say that it was blasphemy.
Yeah. You're right.
Oh, absolutely.
And then if to say don't add one jot, not one tittle. Yeah.
Can you imagine if like there was the Guatemalan Bible, the Haitian Bible, the Iranian Christian Bible? Exactly right. Uh-huh. And to your point, Dylan, I always say, Keith, I always say, you know, King James is sort of like the Bob Dylan of Kings. He left some of the best songs off the album. You know, the Bible's not a book. It's a collection of books. And like Bob Dylan, like I get these bootlegs. I'm like, how the fuck could Bob Dylan leave this off the album? I say that about King James all the time.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I asked my New Testament professor one time, why is the King James so problematic? And that's what he said. He's like, it's problematic because it's a terrible translation.
Too many cooks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me go to the phones really quick. Richard in Arizona has been on hold forever. Richard, thank you for your patience. You're on Sirius XM with the God Squad. How are you tonight?
I'm good, John. Thank God for you guys keeping the sanity over here.
I love this segment. You have no idea.
You know what? The term comes to mind when I'm thinking about this Bible. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. You know, it's just, where the hell did this come from, you know? And it's like these Christian nationalists think they know the scriptures. They have no clue. They're the furthest thing from it. They're anti-scripture, you know.
You're right.
And they don't know Jesus. They wouldn't know, you know. Can you imagine Jesus coming across Trump hawking this Bible in the temple? Oh, my God.
I can't imagine Trump in the temple. You lost me on that one, sir.
You get bitch slapped. He turned the tables over. Yeah. Jesus was a gangster. Okay.
Completely agree, Richard.
Yeah, I mean, and I just also want to say, you know, the Catholic Church lost me long ago, many reasons, and it's just the hypocrisy. And once they started preaching about, you know, the conservative shtick from the pulpit, you know, I was out of there.
You like this new pope any better, though? I mean, this new pope, I think, has gone a long way. He could have gone longer, but he's done a lot. I mean, compared to the last five, he's very liberal.
Yeah, of course. But, I mean, look at all the hate he gets from the right in the church. So
I know.
It's insane, you know?
But that's it, right? I mean, if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be a Christian leader, you're either, if you're not being crucified, you're not doing the Jesus right.
You ain't doing shit.
Yeah. And every church I've gone to, Christian, non-denominational and stuff, worship services, you know, they're all talking, you know, many of the same talking points. And it's just sickening that, you know, they're all so political. I haven't found one, you know, yet that is liberal enough to actually be true to.
Let me quote Luke Skywalker again, please, from The Last Jedi. The Jedi don't own the Force. And religion doesn't own faith or God or Jesus or spirituality. You don't need a culture of middlemen to have a relationship with whatever the great mystery is for you. And you've got people like Keith Giles and Dylan Cruz and December Rose who are putting out dynamite books and videos, which are better than anything you'll get in any church, for God's sakes. I've been in radio too long because I come from TV, and the rule in TV is you don't talk to your guests during the commercial break because they're going to say brilliant things and then you won't have it back. And I broke the rule. I do this all the time. And Keith Giles had the best line of the night, and it happened during the break. Keith, will you share with our gentle listeners what you were sharing that pertains a little bit to foreskins?
Yeah, well, we were talking about the Bible and all kinds of crazy stuff in the Bible. And I just made the comment how it's always been shocking to me or surprising to me. You know, when you talk about slavery in the Old Testament, you know, I've heard this quite often, the argument that, well, you know, look, slavery was just the way things were back then. It was part of the economy. And God was just slowly easing them into the idea of maybe slavery wasn't a good thing. And he didn't want to push it on them and, you know, make a big law about it or anything like that.
It's not like it's God's world. Yeah, he's got to ease them in gently.
Yeah, you know, he's got to play the slow game on the slavery thing. But yet, like, convincing guys to cut the ends of their dicks off is no problem. Like, you just go straight to that. Like,
straight to the point.
I think if you'd have given them the choice, I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, look, you can either keep your slaves or cut the end of your dick off. I'm letting my slaves go free.
Let freedom ring.
Give us free.
That's right. I would have solved that problem a long time ago.
Oh, my God. You're too funny. JD is on the line from New Mexico. JD, you're on with the God Squad. What's up?
Oh, not much. I just wanted to say I'm actually thankful for Trump and Trumpism.
Tell me.
Well, you know, we've always known who our enemies were. But thanks to Trump and Trumpism, now we know who our friends are.
I love that. Yeah.
Amen.
Good.
That's true.
Great line.
That's it.
Amen. You got it.
Thank you.
Mic drop.
I can't do better than that. Yeah. Okay. This is Union House, sir. Don't break that mic when you drop it. Goodbye.
That's right.
Yeah. So I had this whole study from that I wanted to talk with you guys about in Pew Research Center about how religion's role in public life is shrinking. And a lot of people are unhappy about that. About 57% of adults still say that religion has a positive impact on American life. But I want to go deeper on it next week because we're almost out of time. But Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine have the highest share of adults who say they never go to any kind of religious service. 75% of Vermonters never go. 66% in Maine and New Hampshire. But Mississippi, Alabama, and Louisiana have the lowest share of adults who say they never go. 32% in Mississippi, 36% in Alabama, 37% in Louisiana. We've only got a minute left, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised that these results are so regional.
Yeah,
absolutely. Exactly. Yeah, and I think you can have a correlation between those states that that have the highest sort of church attendance and everything and where MAGA is most popular. I've started to think like this whole deconstruction movement is the antidote to Christian nationalism, because the more people start calling bullshit on a lot of this, the Christianity they've been raised with, the less likely they are to accept a lot of this nonsense.
Yeah. I think you're right. It's heartbreaking because, again, Trump is popular with the Christians, but Trump is against everything their holy book tells you to do as a person. I mean, it's been like this for a long. These are the people who cheered on the Iraq War. You know, it's like consistently. It's the conservatives, the people behind slavery, the people behind women not having the vote, the people cheering on the slaughter of Indians, the people behind 100 years of apartheid in this country. It's always the loudest Christians who are fighting against the teachings of the book they pretend to follow.
Yeah. And I think Keith was being a little coy. There's a correlation between church attendance and racism.
Mm-hmm.
And regional. Mm-hmm. And Martin Luther King put it this way, that 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is one of the most segregated hours in this country.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so
that's right.
He said between MAGA and church attendance. I'm going to say between racism and church attendance. And it's not a coincidence.
Every country has religious fundamentalists. America is the only country on earth where our history of our religious fundamentalists is inseparable from white supremacy and slavery and apartheid.
That's
we're the
right.
only country where you can't separate our religious history from racism. We are out of time. Pastor Rose, really quick, how do we follow you?
December Rose, if you could find me, it's DESIMBER. I'm all around. I'm here. I'm there.
Dylan Cruz, how do we follow you?
I'm all over social media, and my books are on Twitter. Fuck.
You can say that. You can dead name here. You can dead name it.
Blog is tattoodtheologian.com. And sorry, Chris, we're going over.
And Keith Giles, really quick.
.com is my blog. My books are on Amazon. I'd love to follow you.
We'll see you next week. Thank you guys so much. This is SiriusXM. I'm John Fugelsang. Peace.